Hi, my name is Kevin Lamb. I'm a principal program manager on the Logic Apps team. Today, I'll be talking about the introduction to Logic Apps. What we'll cover today is the modernization of integration, how we can use API connections in Logic Apps, some concepts in Logic Apps, covering management, and then finally doing a demo. Classically, data has been stuck in line of business systems managed by IT departments and requires integration specialists to access that data. Departments and startups are starting to choose their own places where they're going to put that data, including SaaS offerings like Salesforce, CRM Online, SharePoint Online, and Box. They also need to reach out to media services like Facebook, Twitter, Yammer, and Slack. With this modernization of integration, we need to be able to have the citizen developer get access to that data. Logic Apps hopes to democratize integration with its simplified tooling and service. To be a well-proven service in the enterprise integration space, we must be a leader in the IPaaS quadrant, which is the integration platform as a service. We will also build a rich ecosystem of API connectors, which include not only the ones we have out of the box, but those that third parties can produce and sell in the marketplace. With Logic Apps, we can connect and automate common tasks using simple and intuitive tools, allow you to create crucial, reliable tasks without any coding, integrate your mobile and web-based apps, and connect to existing apps to SaaS services. We will also enable BizTalk APIs for those expert integration scenarios. So let's talk about API connections. APIs allow you to use existing or custom APIs. There are dozens of APIs that are built for popular SaaS that come with the product. You can use an ecosystem of APIs for any need, including those that you publish yourself as custom APIs, or by others as reusable APIs. You can use Visual Studio to build those APIs and publish them into Azure. When connecting to APIs, we have a few classes of APIs. First one is Manage APIs. Those are the out-of-box APIs hosted by Logic Apps. That means that they're serviced by the product team and you don't have to worry about scalability or servicing of those connectors. We have a first-class designer experience that allows you to not have to worry about the details of the API, and you can quickly and rapidly develop against those APIs. Custom and external APIs. We provide a first-class designer experience for all those that provide Swagger. Swagger gives us the ability to interpret what the API is supposed to look like, and we can do an auto-discovery of those APIs that you already have hosted in Azure. You can declarative reference an external API using Swagger, and we'll get that first-class experience as well. For those endpoints that don't have any Swagger, we can still reach out to those using raw HTTP. API connections allows you to authenticate and consent using one of those services. You can authenticate once and reuse that connection multiple times in your Logic Apps. You can also use it to differentiate connections and configuration for each of those adapters. They're simply configured and easy to deploy. Here's an introduction to the set of API connections that we have built in into the system. They include SaaS for such services such as Box, Dropbox, Office 365, SQL Azure. We also can reach on-premises using our hybrid connectors for services like IBM DB2, Informix, SAP. We also support BizTalk messaging in B2B. We can do Vetter, which is validate, extract, transform, and route using XML messaging, as well as classic EDI for EDIFACT, X12, AS2, and using trading partner management. The engine supports HTTP natively as a protocol, but we also have connectors for FTP, POP3, SMTP, and file. Let's look at the workflow definition language. At its core, the Logic Apps workflow definition language has four parts: parameters, triggers, actions, and outputs. We'll talk about the first three today. Parameters allows you to reuse values easily within your workflow, and it also allows you to abstract values that need to change across environments. For example, you could have your workflow definition with a parameter pointing at your dev environment, and you can deploy the same definition without any changes and just an update to the parameter which points at your prod environment. This allows you to quickly replicate different environments using logic apps. Triggers allows a logic app to run. There are many types of triggers that can create an instance of a workflow. The first one is a recurring schedule. Every X hours or every 5 minutes or every 3 days, you can have a new instance of a logic app run. You can have a polling API for a response. So the endpoint will be polled until a response of 200 is returned and the new instance of the workflow is started. You can also have a manual webhook. If you put a manual trigger into your workflow, you automatically get a SAS URL that you can post to and create a new instance of a workflow. There's also a webhook subscription where you can register your endpoint with a service that supports webhook subscriptions such as GitHub, and then you'll get new instances created anytime an event occurs. And finally, on demand, you can click the Run Now button in the management portal to have a new instance of that logic app run. The next sections are actions. Actions can do a number of things. Its primary action capability is to call out. It can call out to API apps. It can reach out to a direct HTTP endpoint. It can call other workflows or even send a response to an initiating request. Actions honor the asynchronous pattern. So it continues on a 202 status code, and it follows the location header and waits for the retry after interval. It can also wait for events, either waiting for a period of time using delay, or waiting for a webhook to be called. They also have custom retry policies. There's a default retry policy, but you can configure one yourself. Actions also have conditions and looping. For control flow, there's the response. So for any request that comes in, you can have an action that sends a response back to that request. For each, you can iterate over a collection of items on an action. Split on, you can take an array, split it so that a new workflow instance runs on each item in that array. Do until, you can have that action run until a certain condition is met. And finally, conditions. A condition determines whether an action should run or not if the condition is met. Management. In the Azure portal, we provide you capabilities so that you can have insights into your logic apps. We show you the trigger history that shows the polling results of your triggers, and the run history, which shows details for each logic app run. That shows statistics and helps you debug anything that goes on with your logic app. Let's get into a demo. I'm going to create a new API as a logic app. So let's go to the Azure portal and create our first logic app. I'm going to go to plus and new, and I'm going to choose logic app. Our first logic app, what we're going to do is create an appender. So I'm going to take my file. So let's call this the appender. I'm going to take a file from Dropbox and append data to the end of that file. So I'm going to create a new app for myself that allows me to do that. So I'm going to keep all these settings the same and go ahead and create it. So in the background, an empty logic app is being created in the logic app service. Once that creation is completed, the designer will pop open and let me start creating a new logic app. So now the new logic app is created, and it asks me what the first thing I want to do is. So the first thing we want to do is create a trigger. What it shows you here is a list of possible triggers you can choose from. And you can see that you can be triggered by SharePoint, Service Bus, OneDrive, Dropbox, etc. What we're going to start off with is a manual trigger that gets fired anytime an HP request is received. Next, I'm going to choose a Dropbox action. So what I can do in here is type in Dropbox. And this list will be filtered down to the items that I can choose for Dropbox. So here you see all the operations for Dropbox. So what I want to do is get the file content using a path. You can see here that I've already been authenticated with Dropbox. If I wasn't authenticated, I would have been asked for a new connection. And here you can see the connections that I have. So I'm going to choose the connection to my personal Dropbox. On the right here, we see an ellipsis that allows us to interrogate what's actually out of my Dropbox. Here it's going to load the folders. Here I'm going to pick the test out folder and pick my notes. So now, anytime this Logic app is triggered, it's going to get the contents of this file called mynotes.txt. So I'm going to add a new action. Here you can see all the actions that are available. This is a filtered list of the most popular operations, but there are more operations than you actually see in this list, which is why we'll actually go in and filter based on the API that I care about. I'm going to go ahead and choose Dropbox update file. So this operation will update the contents of my Dropbox file. I will choose the same file that I had chosen before. And this time I'm going to update it with the content of the file and append it with some incoming data. So here you see this add schema property. It will actually go ahead and update the schema of the trigger that was received. And it's called update file content. And I'll show you what that means in a second. So that's it. I've just created my first Logic app. Let's go ahead and save that. So that save is complete. So what I'm going to do now is go to my triggers page. So here in this part, you see the trigger. It's called manual trigger. And it exposes a SAS URL. You're going to select that SAS URL. Here's the SAS URL, which allows you to post to that endpoint. And then I'm going to go to Postman. I'm going to go ahead and post that endpoint. Okay, so now let's enter in the request of the body. And so remember that request I had there before showed that the name of the value was file content, update file, file content. File content. And so it's going to take that value, and whatever is the value of that property, it's going to stick it and append it to my file. So something interesting to remember. Okay, so this is going to be appended to my file. So I'm going to go ahead and post that. It's a post request. And so now that request has been posted to my Logic app. If I go ahead and look at my notes, I'll see that something interesting to remember was added to the end of that file. So what happened? So if I go to my Logic apps, we'll see that we have a manual trigger. That manual trigger should have fired once.
we see that there was a fire. If we go ahead and look at the details of that, we can see that we have a run identifier and interesting information about when it was started, when it ended, and when it completed, and including the inputs, which was the file content, as well as the outputs. So this is actually what got sent to the Logic App. And you can see that the body of the request was update file content, something interesting to remember. So that's, you know, your very first, very simple Logic App. I can now continue to append different information to my Logic App. You can run that from your own application. I happen to do it simply from Postman. So let's actually get into some details of that. This time, let's actually look at the code view for this Logic App. Here you see the declarative view of your Logic App. As we had talked about earlier, there are a few sections: actions and triggers. Those are the most interesting sections we want to talk about. So here in the trigger section, there was a schema that was passed in that said it's expecting a property called update file content. Let's change this. I'm going to change this to resource, and this required field to resource. And where it's referenced, if I look at my actions, there were two actions. There was get file content using path, so that got the content of my file. And then I was appending it, so I used update file content. So instead of using the trigger body update file content, I changed the JSON property to resource. Let's also do something more interesting. Instead of a comma, let's do a line feed. So now we're constantly getting having an append to the end of the file. So I can go ahead and save that. And so one of the interesting things we can do is, because the trigger is a post action that acts like a webhook, we can actually go ahead and do something like register it with PayPal. So if I go in here, I have to re-authenticate. In PayPal, PayPal allows you to simulate webhook events. So I'm going to go ahead and put the URL that I had, and I'm going to pick a payment capture completed event. If I send that, what it's going to do is send a payload to my Logic App. Now, I knew that one of the values I was interested in is called resource, so I put that in my schema in my Logic App. So let's see what's happened to the Logic App. If I go ahead and look at the runs, oh no, we see that there's an error. This is a great opportunity to see how debugging works. Let's go ahead and select that. And we see that there are two steps and one of them failed. I'm going to select the failed step. And we see that we have an error here. So let's expand this. So the template language function concat expects of its parameters a string. Ah, that resource was an object, not a string. We can go fix that. So let's go back to our designer. Go into the code view. And here where I had trigger body, because this is being a concat, concat expects a string or an int type. So I'm going to go ahead and convert this to a string. So we have many language functions that are built into our declarative language. And one of them is string, which will convert an object into a string. That's it. So now I've converted that to a string. I will save it. That updated Logic App is now saved in the service. And if I go back to Postman, if I go back to my webhook simulator, I will go send another request. That request has been sent. And if I go back, let's look at our notes. I'm going to close this and reopen it. Looks like it got updated. And what we see here is that body got appended to the end. So going back to our Logic App Designer, we see that we finally have the last session as a successful trigger to that request. So now you've seen how you can use the portal to go ahead and debug your scenarios and use a logic app that you just created to append data to a file and even register it as a webhook to other services. Let's go back to the slides.
Now that you've seen some logic apps, here's a slide and call to action. Come visit our blog, our webcasts, and reach us out on Twitter. Of course, you can always revisit Build on Channel 9 and look at the Microsoft Virtual Academy online. Thank you.